grateful to you, Father, Ancient of Days. We worship you, awesome God. There is none like unto you. Thank you for the privilege here in your presence again today to hear from you. Send your word in our direction for our change of story. Thank you, Father, for all that you have said to Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Put those blessed hands together for Jesus. God will not do anything except he had first sent his word. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 17, Joseph as his servant. But in verse 18, irrespective of the fact that he was sent, his feet was bruised with fetters. He was in chain. And then, in verse 19, his word came. He was bruised and bound then until his word came. In 19. And as soon as his word came in 19, 20, God showed up. The Bible said the king sent and released him, even the ruler of his people. So he was under bandage until the word came. Every season of the world is a season ordained for our deliverance. And it is your sensitivity in the spirit that will enable you to take hold. So pay rapt attention. We are going to pray. But hear this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John was bound and ostracized in the island of Patmos. Hopeless. That is a prison of no return. But the Bible said, John said, I was in the spirit on the last day, and I heard. He was in the spirit, and then he heard. Now, as potent as the word of God, as the word, it will take you hearing by the spirit for you to take delivery of what is in the word for you. I was in the spirit and then I heard. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Courtesy of the word, he heard. And the revelation of what will come was delivered. So it will take the word for you to be set on your feet. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine. Why? For thy light has come. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Ezekiel was speaking there. Then the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him that spoke. So there is this circle between the word and the spirit. The spirit is communicated by the word. And you can only receive the word, the rhema of the word that will bring the required deliverance and expectation when you are in the spirit. So, let us position ourselves and be alive in the spirit to receive the word. Because it is when you receive the light of the word that you begin to soar. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light has come,
And in verse 8, the Bible says, who are these that fly as a dove? Who are these that fly? Who are these who fly like a dove and like dove fruit? So flight in this kingdom is courtesy of the word of God. So when the word is mixed with the spirit, then you take delivery of what God has ordained for you. In fact, God demonstrated it in Genesis chapter 1 during creation. So I want you to pray as we need before we go to the word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was formlessness. The earth was without form and void. Note. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Get the Spirit. And then God said, verse 3. And as soon as both were mixed, the Spirit and the Word, there was delivery of creation. My prayer today is that you will receive the Word today by the Spirit. That is what jacks up faith for the full delivery of what God has ordained for us. Therefore, we're going to rise up to pray. I'm going to say, Lord, I release myself to you. Holy Spirit, take over. And let your word be revealed in my spirit, by your spirit. Please open your mouth, pray. Don't miss this moment. Lord, today I surrender to you. I surrender to you, Lord. Let your word come forth like never before. We can't do anything except by your word. God will not do any word. Today, let your word bring deliverance. Let your word bring light that will cause us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Put those blessings together again for Jesus. And please, let's be seated. I am so grateful to God for the opportunity to stand in your presence to preach. I want to thank my father, Pastor. Thank you so much, sir. It's a great privilege to stand here to minister the word. I also appreciate all of my elders and my pastors. God has called these men, and they are serving with all their strength, laboring in the word, laboring in prayers. And the Bible says, those that labor in the word, they are worthy of double honor. The Lord will honor all of you, sirs, in the mighty name of Jesus. And you seated, you will not miss your honor. In the name of Jesus Christ. I started the word titled in September, Exploring the Requirement of Divine Direction. Exploring the requirement of divine direction. I pray God will help us to round it up today. The Bible said, as Jesus was preaching and teaching, the power present to heal and to deliver. So as much as possible, I shall be preaching and teaching. And as you take hold of the word, your deliverance will come in the name of Jesus Christ. First scripture is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Very clear scripture. And second scripture, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. So, there are several ways that will always be unveiled to you. But in Jeremiah 10, 23, where we read, the Bible made it clearly there that it is not in us to know the appropriate way to go. irrespective of our experience, irrespective of your anointing, irrespective of your qualifications, you just don't know the way to go. It is not in you. Primarily because the destiny that God has prepared for you, sir, man. You know, this was what Jesus was looking at, and he said, greater works than what you are seeing now, and you are amazed. Greater works than this. He said, you will do. You will do. But it is not in you to take delivery of what it takes to do greater works and to assess the destiny that God has ordained for you. So that is why we require divine guidance per time. Per time. You need to be directed. So many times we are quick to take steps. We want to discuss and make decisions by ourselves and begin to run with sometimes a purpose that is not even ours. Unfortunately. So many are running a race that is not theirs. Some are even in marriages. Thank God for marriage that they did not ask God. But God can make amends. Thank God for him. Because you know the GPS. GPS that you are going to Matra and you face Sib. No problem. The GPS will and bring you back to Matra. The only thing is that it may only take a longer time. The GPS will adjust and you are coming back. So many have found themselves in ways that they didn't ask God. But thank God for his mercy. He will change things in your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. So, we must note that for us to be made and operate in the destiny that God has ordained for us, because all of us, we have a destiny in the hand of God. We must always follow his ways as dictated by him, according to his blueprint. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So your making is not in you following your own ways. Your making is in following the ways of God. The Bible, the Word of God, is our most reliable guide for followership of God's plan and purpose for us. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of God is the greatest GPS. Arise and shine. Isaiah 60:1. For thy light has come. And if you go further, I said, darkness shall cover the earth, verse 2. Gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you. So we are living in a world of gross darkness. You will need the lamp of the word of God to assess your path to destiny. So it is dependence on the word that secures the deliverance of our destiny from the past as we navigate through the joy, because there is always a way that seems right. You know, there is one trick about the devil you need to know. That he cannot stop you. You are too loaded for him, like Joseph that was sent by God. In Psalm 105:17, he was sent. Loaded. When he knows he can't stop you, there is one trick he resorts to. He tries to confuse you. He brings in deception to get you out of the way of God, the plan of God for your life. Thinking about delay and what is his gimmick and his strategy, he will show you the way that looks right. There is a way that seems right. He will show you the way. Cliff. Because to him, he was seeing an elevation. He didn't know that there was a depression ahead. So we always need God. Because there is a way that seems right unto every man, no matter how anointed. And the end thereof would always be destruction. Now, that same scripture was repeated verbatim in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. First, Proverbs 14, 12. And then again, Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right. So when God is speaking twice, God is not a stammerer. It means that there is a requirement for you to note it. So let's be wise, not in our own eyes, but in the eye. How? By doing what he says for us to do part time. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word only, deceiving yourselves. Why? Because God would always communicate his way via his word. When you are ordained for a deliverance, when you are crying to God for a particular thing, he sent a word. The Bible said he sent a word unto Jacob and it lighted Israel. So he sent a word in your direction. It is your ability to catch that word and then obey it out the deliverance. And so we must note that our destiny in Christ is an adventure, not a destination. So we must continue to look unto God, because our destiny is this shining destiny continuously. Every time you need to go to God and say, Lord, what next? So many are taking decisions on their own and just think along to us. This life is not ours. There is an architect that has designed it. He has the blueprint. He knows the plan. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. And so you must go to him part time to ask. And so that by so doing, you can realize your shining destiny. 4 verse 18. But the path of the justified, as the shining light, shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There are no ceilings to our destiny. It's shining and shining and shining kind as believers. But we can only assess the way to our destiny by God's leading. Must always come to him to take delivery of what he is saying concerning us. Please note, as great as our destinies are, we cannot have the full picture part time. God is in the habit of delivering our destinies bit by bit. Why? Now, let me give us an example. You know, builders, architects, they have made the design and they give it to the builders, construction team, engineers. Who is a builder here? Do we have any builder here? People that build. You are involved in the building industry. Praise God. Pastor, thank you so much, sir. So how many times would the engineers take the blueprint of the construction, just look at it once and drop it, and go and build the building from foundation to the roof. Has it ever happened, sir? I don't know, maybe. He just looks at it once. After looking at it, he maps everything, and then he goes. He never returns back. And then he starts building from the scratch to the block work. To farm. It, does it ever happen? I don't know. You know, we have AI now. It never happens. They will consistently return back to that blueprint of that particular building to consult from time to time. Isn't it, sir? From time to time, they will refer to it to know how to put everything in its place. The place for everything. No matter how experienced they are. That is why we, as the building of God, the Bible says we are God's building, God's temple. God has made us, not we ourselves. We ought to go back to Him per time. Sir, I am presently. What is the next? What is the next point of call? Sir, what next? And then sometimes He will do, sometimes He will tell you to wait. Why wait? You know, sir, that when they cast foundation, there is the time they call for, is it curing? They allow it to cure, right? Now, after casting the foundation, you just go and put the stanchions on it. Is it going to work that way? You can't just cast foundation and then even this floor we are standing on, they loaded it with laterite. And then after filling it with laterite, the foundation, they will have to keep pouring water on it so that the laterite will settle. Isn't it, sir? And then they will ramp it. They will compact it. Keep compacting. It takes time. Yeah. But why are we so much in a hurry? When God tells us to wait. Eh? He is the builder of our lives. He tells you to hold on, sir. Hold on here. Say, no, no, no. I have already laid the foundation. Pour the laterite and pour concrete. Hey, what a crash it will be. So let's be patient with God as He's building our destinies. Now, your waiting might vary depending on the structure that God wants to build in you. Do you know when Hannah was waiting to be visited? All the wives of Ekanam were having children. They were having all their children and they were mocking Hannah. But God was busy curating Hannah, preparing her womb. From year to year, she was going to Shiloh. And God would say, wait. Why? Because there was a great structure that was going to come forth through Hannah. Having waited, and then on this day at Shiloh, she was praying and was speaking to herself and to God. And Eli looked at her and said, this woman is drunk this kind of early morning. This early morning. This woman is already. But she was waiting and crying. And then she said, no, sir. I'm not drunk. I am just waiting and asking God, Lord, when? I have become a livestock. People are mocking me. But see, in your period of waiting, as you are waiting on God, men might mock you. But note, there is somebody that is out there to make you. And He will make Jesus Christ. I said, this God will make you in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Wait on God. I say, wait. By the time Samuel came, everybody knew that a prophet had been born. At the tender age of just 7 or so, he was already prophesying to the priest Eli. What a man. At a tender age, God was speaking to him eyeball to eyeball. Why? Because somebody waited. So wait. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So, but why divine direction? Amongst all these things that we have talked about today, why fundamentally do we need divine guidance? Number one, our destiny in Christ has unlimited capacity for enlargement, but it will take following hard after God to see its manifestation. Sir, ma'am, the destiny that God has prepared for you. Let me give you an example. Concerning John the Baptist, Jesus said, of everyone that is born, there is none as great as John the Baptist. Everyone that was born before his time. He said, but, from John the Baptist, after John the Baptist, henceforth, anyone that is least in this kingdom that I have prepared is greater than John the Baptist. Now, look at it very carefully. That includes Father Abraham. It includes Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs. It includes my ferocious firebrand prophet, Elijah and Elisha. It includes all of them that ever lived before John the Baptist. The scripture cannot be broken. The Bible says you are greater than them all. It's the Bible that said it. Jesus said it by him. He said, none is as great as the least. He's talking about somebody that just said, Jesus, I receive you and my Lord as my Lord and my Savior today. Today I am born again and will serve you. That's the least at that moment, yes? All that lived in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every one of them put together, whether you believe it or not, Jesus said, you are greater than them. Wave your hands and shout hallelujah. That is your destiny. But it is only realizable in God. In John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go to the Father. You hear what Jesus was saying? I am going to the Father. I am going to assume my seat as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, but you see people shouting now, saying, Lord and Master, Jesus, Son of David. He said, of all these things that they have seen that is making them to shout, you that believe in me, greater works than I have done. What people have seen, and they are saying, Lord and Master, he said, you will do much more than this. Hallelujah. Shout a bigger amen. Amen. So our destiny of a greater than is too big, too large for us to assess by ourselves. You need God. You need God. Number two, why? Divine direction. As we keep following God, he keeps changing our levels, and our wisdom soon becomes too limited to assess our next levels. As we keep following hard after God, God keeps changing our stories. God keeps turning things around for us, both in greatness and in all aspects. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So God is expecting us to depend on him for what he has ordained for us, in order for him to change our story. So God has called us to greatness, God has called us to a life of greatness. Greatness. Now, let me tell you a story about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Abraham said, leave your father's house. He said unto Abraham, get out of your father's house. Go back to the first. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now come back to verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. 75 years, verse 4, Abraham was in his father's house until he yielded to the call of God to follow God. Until God showed up to show him the way forward. And he departed. But what is the benefit? Verse 2. Everyone that follows after God assesses his destiny of greatness. God has not called us to aloneness. He said, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. But it depends on how hard you follow after him. This is why so many are struggling. It's because though we are in this kingdom, we are not assessing God's plan and direction for us. As soon as God called him, he stepped out of his comfort zone and departed. In the place God said he would show him, he faced it squarely. Your destiny manifestation is practically tied to how well and promptly you obey and respond to God's divine leading. Following divine direction is a vital key there with him. Only him has the blueprint and master plan of our lives. We have talked about this several times. And so we must pay attention to what he has to say per time by going to him to seek what are his plans. Divine direction, or following hard after divine guidance, is our covenant highway to God-ordained vision for our lives. You know, what is vision? It is the unveiling of God's plans and purpose for our life. That's vision. But you see, irrespective of the unveiling of these plans, at time, you need to keep following to have continuous access to the direction to achieve it. You remember when God called Abraham? He said, come to a land I will show you. He didn't tell him, Abraham, move. I am showing you this land now. He said, come, just come with me to a place that I will show you. And so Abraham kept following in faith. Kept following in faith. And that is what God expects of us. So as we go to God to assess our vision, according to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, and we make it plain, as God comes very plain, we must keep running and running after God with it. We must keep running after God. Because God will speak the vision. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, walk ye in it. Walk ye in it, as God is showing the way. Why do we need divine direction? Number 5. One wrong step can wreck a whole destiny. One wrong step out of God's plan and purpose can wreck a whole destiny. We have read this scripture several times. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that always seems right. And the devil, trust him, he will show you several ways. It can lead to peril, destruction, and pain. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So many have met shipwreck, destiny shipwreck, because they missed the way. So parents, let's be praying for our children. One of the greatest prayers you will pray for your children is prayer of them finding God so that God can direct them. God can direct them. You can instruct them, but it will take God to direct them to their destiny. The destiny of our children is not tied to us. It is tied to God. So we must point them to God per time for direction. Because their destiny is too precious to be wasted. We don't even know the way ourselves. So, who are we to start prescribing, deciding? Yes, there is the place of guidance. There is a place of counsel. Or rather, I prefer to take the place of prayers for our children. So that God can steer them in the appropriate direction. It is very important. So that at the end, they will meet and fulfill their destiny. Number six, divine direction keeps God walking with you and for you. Divine direction keeps God walking with you and for you. That is why I believe next to salvation is divine direction. Next to our salvation is divine direction. There is a way that seems right unto man, the end thereof is destruction. And anyone that is not saved, the end thereof is destruction. So next to our salvation, we need divine guidance. Let's be serious with it. And when God is leading you, you see, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, can we recite that scripture? I think everybody knows that scripture, verbatim. What does it say? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. According to God is committed to supplying all your needs, and economists, we know the difference between your needs and your wants, right? Need is general requirement, those things that you generally will need for sustenance. But when God is leading you, check out what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So when you subscribe to God's leading, not only your needs are delivered, even the wants are supplied. Put those hands together for Jesus Christ. That is why we need divine leading. Most of us operate in the realms of want. I mean, in the realms of need. Fine, it is good. Your basic needs, God is willing to supply them. But for you to move from the realms of need into the realms of as you are thinking it, God is supplying it. That is the realm of supplying our want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any want. Why? He makes me to lie down in green pasture daily, daily. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. And because he's leading me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. On the basis of his leading, you have no want. And he leads you beside still waters. May the Lord lead us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the jungle or savannah, I was privileged to watch one clip where these animals were grazing. And right by this jungle, savannah, where the animals were grazing, there is one pond full of water. But you could see that some of the animals were steering clear from that water. But why were they steering clear? Because though the water looked still, it was not still. There was a crocodile inside. And so some of the flocks that ran without shepherd, they went there, thinking the water is still, wanting to drink. And suddenly, whoosh, grabbed that flock. So when God says he leads you beside still water, he means he will lead you beside waters that are not infected with crocs and pythons. So many things are in disguise. You will see it looking still, but it is not still. On the net, there is a trap. But when God is leading, you can be at peace. He will not take you to those waters that are infected with crocs. He will lead you beside still waters. The wave of the water will not catch you away. He will lead you peacefully. That is what it takes to be led. And that is why when God is leading you, you will be at peace. Because you know, your safety is guaranteed. So God will keep working for you as he is leading you. Now in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 21, the Bible says, and they tasted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleft the rock also, and water gushed out. So when God is leading you, you may not need those swamp, beets infected with crocodiles. He can bring forth water from anywhere for you. When he led them through the desert, they did not thirst. Reason why so many times we are caught up in thirst, in hunger, in situations, is because we have missed our alignment with God's lead. My father in the faith, Bishop David Oyelowo, would say, no matter how fast you go on a wrong direction, sir, you are going to Sioux and you face Salala. Fire at 180 kilometers per hour. You will never, are you going to ever reach Sioux? You will fire tirelessly. And he would always say, no matter how fast you go on the wrong direction, you will never arrive at your destination. But it is never too late to make a turn and go the right direction. That is one beautiful thing about David. No wonder the Bible says God called him the man after my own heart. It's not that David was perfect in all his ways. David is one of the prophets and the king of Israel that did a lot more abomination than any one king in Israel. He was not a perfect man, but he was a man that was subscribed to God's leading. Should I pursue this once? Will I overtake? And they were planning to stone him. How many of you remember that story? They were planning to stone him to death. The family, everybody, they were all wailing. He had time to go to him and say, Father, there is an issue here. What are you saying? Should I pursue? Am I going to overtake these people? That's how women... Please, let us be very patient, husbands. I'm sorry to say. Be very patient too. I could see David's wife. You know, they carried some of his wife. And other people coming to her. You are praying. And our children have been carried away. You are here praying. Eh? You are here praying. No. Let's be patient. Patience. He went. God said, David, pursue. For you shall surely overtake. And without faith, recover all. Did he recover all or not? He recovered all without faith. He returned back with spoil. And he said, this is David's spoil. Amen. You will recover all in the name of Jesus Christ. On account of divine leading, you will recover all in the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, as we are rounding up, what are some of the benefits? We have talked about some of them. Some of the benefits of following divine direction. What are some of the benefits? I said something there. As beneficial as divine direction is to a believer, we must note that following divine direction is a choice and not by force. As beneficial as divine guidance is, please note, God will not force any man. God will not invade your privacy. God will not force you to follow his will. If you will obey him, fine. If you don't obey him, he turns and he leaves you alone. He will not compel any man to do anything. So the choice is yours. But if you will obey him, the benefits are enormous. That's why he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. There is the option of following God. There is the option of following your own mind and your plan and your technical know-how and your own strategy. It is your option. God will not force us. But note that divine direction, number one, we always secure supernatural defense and preservation. Divine direction, we always secure supernatural defense and direction. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 14, you see the scripture there. When he led them by the way, he protected them. He defended them. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him, and yet, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without habitation. Also, the children of North and Tohapins have broken the crown of their head. Hast thou not procured this unto yourself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? You refuse to follow him. And then the crown of your head is broken. That is not you in the name of Jesus Christ. They forsook God and the crown of their head was taken away. Following divine direction number two keeps God working with us and for us. I have said that before. Number three, divine direction may not look sound by human standard, but it is always the most profitable way to go. It is always the most profitable way to go. There is profit in divine guidance. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So when you follow God's ways, God causes your profiting to appear. What a wonderful God. Meditating on the instructions of God, which is the word of God, for our guidance and giving ourselves wholly to following them is what guarantees our profiting. No two ways. No games, no gimmicks. Number four, divine direction secures divine presence. When you allow yourself to be guided, God's presence emanates round about you. How many are lacking God's presence today? Because the way we are going is not the way that God has ordained. And so we miss out on his presence. Exodus chapter 13, 21. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in the pillar of light to give them light and to go with them. Why? Because he said, I will not allow you to go the way of the Philistine. Turn the way of the Red Sea. Even though there was an obstacle ahead, they followed, and God went with them. It secures divine presence. Number five, divine direction triggers supernatural breakthrough roundabout. We saw the story of Abraham. God called him in Genesis chapter 12. And he departed in verse 4. By Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible said Abraham was rich in gold and silver. Project that scripture. Genesis chapter 12, we saw it. God called Abraham, and the Bible said in verse 4, Abraham departed. And Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, project it. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, on account of divine guidance. Nothing secures supernatural breakthrough like divine guidance. If you are in a particular endeavor, you are having a plan, or you are having a business, and you are struggling, check it. And when God is in need, no matter what, nobody can unseat you. Because when God is leading you, he secures you and he preserves you. That will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Secures breakthrough roundabout. Number six, as subscribing to divine direction renders our enemies helpless. 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 Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Reason why we see the enemy and we are afraid is because we are not walking in the way of God. If God is leading you, the enemy know too well to give you a chance. He prepares a table. They will be bleating, wanting to bite, but they can't do you nothing. Pharaoh tried it as God was teaching of Israel. He ended up with his armies in the Red Sea. He was drowned in the Red Sea. Why? Because God was leading him. The Bible said the mountain saw them and skipped like ram. Jordan parted and gave way. Because when God led them, God himself was their sanctuary. He tabernacled with them. And by the reason of divine guidance, his presence caused them to be dominated. And let me hear a louder amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how much they roar. You will be at peace and at rest. That's one key benefit of divine guidance. You will just be at rest. At rest. At rest. No matter what the storm out there, you are confident that God is with me. No one can trouble me. Divine leading terminates lack because they tasted not, number seven, when he led them. Divine leading, number eight, secures supernatural restoration. We have talked about it. When it's leading you, forget about it. Anything you may have lost, there is the possibility of restoration. We saw the story in the life of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8, he is a man that is given to leading by God. And in verse 8, they carted his family away. But verse 18 to 20, there was total restoration. The Bible said there was nothing missing. Nothing missing. Everything was restored. Everything was restored. In the mighty name of Jesus. Divine direction and just supernatural supplies. We have talked about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Number 10, and it secures a stress-free life. It secures a stress-free life. And finally, I'll go to the last part. For you to be led, you need to be his son. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, to 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So you must belong to him for you to hear his voice, which is his principal instrument for leading. And we are going to rise up now as we round up. For us to secure leading, we need to rededicate our lives. I don't know any one of us that want to rededicate our lives here. The moment has come, we are going to pray and say, "Lord, I rededicate life. I consecrate myself to you. I make amend. I may have been going the wrong way. I may have been following my own pattern and my path. I may have been saying, this is how we used to do it. I used to tell him that, Lord, you said this before. So how come you are now taking me this? Man, be flexible with me." So many of us are struggling with God. Pray and say, "Lord, have mercy on me." Ask him for mercy now. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now you are going to pray and say, "Lord, I pray for restoration. Everything I may have lost because of me not hearkening to your voice of direction. Restore me. Restore me, Lord Jesus. Restore me today. Restore me today. Restore me today and deliver me from thirst. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Jesus, mighty name." Now you want to dedicate your life to Christ. You want to surrender your life to Jesus here. As I pray this prayer, please lift up your hands. You want to surrender your life to Christ. Just raise your hands and say this word after me. "Lord Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. In the name of Jesus. Today, I am born again. I am saved. Lord, from today, begin to lead me in all of my way. Jesus, my name, we pray. The Lord will continue to lead us from today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every error we have made in time past due to misdirection, today, by the mighty hand of God that restored unto David his family, I decree restoration upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. By the time you are returning back here next Friday, you are returning with your testimonies of diverse restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father, for all that you have done today. Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Shall we lift up our hands and share the grace? Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Put those blessed hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father.